You know, when Gabriel shows up, things get strange. There were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, I bring you joyful news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angel of the Lord first appeared to peasants, to shepherds in the deep of night, to tell them the good news of Jesus' birth. The shepherds trembled, but Gabriel said to them what he says so many times through the scriptures, "Be not afraid, I bring you good tidings." Now it is not difficult to imagine that an apparition of heavenly hosts, such as Gabriel and his friends, appearing in the pitch dark of a Middle Eastern hillside would make shepherds quake. The apparition of Gabriel was significant in itself, but the news he brought was something much more profound. The prayers of generations of Hebrew people were answered that night in the birth of a child. The shepherds went to visit the baby and worshiped him and became the first to spread the word of hope in those dark days of Caesar Augustus and his henchman Herod. Israel was divided at that time into north and south, the 12 tribes scattered and competing amongst one another. A succession of Roman emperors sent soldiers to occupy the land and keep the locals under control. Their rule was brutal and final. The Jews were oppressed and occupied, forced to work for their oppressors, forced to sing for their captors, and subject to the whims of both emperor and his middle management henchmen, like Herod, who was the Rome-approved king or governor of the region. Now, as sometimes happens with middle management henchmen, Herod was insecure and power-hungry. He liked being in charge, and Caesar mostly left him to manage things on his own. So he plundered as he liked, and as long as he paid to Caesar what Caesar demanded, he was allowed to do what he liked. When the stars announced the birth of a new king, a king of the Jews, and the Magi came to find him, they stopped to ask Herod where this new king was so they might pay him homage. Herod, it is easy to say, was very displeased by the idea of a new king in town, but he didn't say anything about that. Instead, he instructed the Magi to find the child and then return to tell him where the child was. You know, so he could go say hi, bring a gift. The Jews were desperate for a savior, a hero, a Messiah. That's a whole lot of hope to lay on one little bitty infant born in a barn. And hope in such a tiny child is the very thing that had Herod in a cold sweat. Jews with hope would be impossible to oppress. Jews with a unifying king of their own would challenge his power, his control, and his comfortable life. It was not the tiny Hebrew infant that caused Herod such fear. It was the hope he represented. Herod went to extreme measures to try and stop the child who would become the radical rabbi. In addition to the power of hope to make shepherds quake and tyrants tremble, another lesson in the story of Jesus' birth can be read in the last passage we heard tonight. From the Gospel according to Matthew, there are two bits that I really, really want to look at. And the Magi, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country by another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. Sometimes the wisest course of action is to skip out the back. In Buddhism, there is a story that goes like this. A horse is tied to a rail in a narrow lane. The street is crowded and there is little room to pass. The horse is of ill temper and kicks anyone who tries to walk behind it. There are crowds of people on both ends of the street stuck because they cannot get past the horse. The old master turns the corner at the top of the block and begins to walk down the lane. At last, the people say, the master will know how to stop the horse from kicking us. The master looks at the situation, sees the horse, assesses his bad temper, and he turns and walks away and went up to the block, went down the next street and walked there. The people were puzzled. They said, why didn't you stop the horse from kicking us? And he said, it is the horse's nature to kick. I cannot stop him from doing what is natural. So like water passing by a stone in a stream, I go around the obstacle and keep moving. That lesson plays out here as well. Herod was powerful. Indeed, he had the power of life and death over all who were in his country. And so, rather than fighting Herod, who was far more powerful and capable of doing great damage, the parties of both the Magi and Joseph left by another way. The Magi found a different way home, and Joseph took his family into Egypt until Herod's reign was over. I don't have to draw you a line from this story to 2016. You're smart enough to see the parallels. We are living in perilous times. Totalitarianism and fascism are looming larger today in America than they did in the Germany in the 1930s. We must pick our battles carefully. We must resist hate and work for love. It is who we are. We must agitate for justice. It is what we do. And we must survive. We must live to fight another day. And so, there will be times when we will have to go home by another way. The message of hope is so strong, so powerful, so irrepressible and unreasonable that it persists even in the age of Herod. Hope continues now. It lives in our hearts like the glowing star that brought the Magi and the shepherds to the creche where Jesus lay. It will not go out. It will not die. It is what makes us get up each day and go do life. I cannot understand what would make a person want to quash that ember of hope, but I can tell you that it has never been successfully extinguished. Hope glows in our hearts. It is Christmas time. It is the time of the year when Christians remember the story of hope that Jesus' birth represents. In the deepest of winter, it is a time when people are surrounded by the darkness and look for miracles of light. It is also the first night of Hanukkah, the miracle of the oil that lasted. We are in the week of the solstice, when the planet pauses, takes a deep breath, and turns back towards the sun. I want to invite you all to close your eyes for a moment, if you will. I want you to envision a burning flame. I want you to envision the light of a single candle in the dark. Imagine it flickering, but not blowing out. Shelter and protect that flame with your hands or with a glass, and it lives. It lives in each one of us. Now open your eyes and look around. Look around this room. Notice the people. We have all come here tonight to celebrate this story of hope, this story of love that wins over fear and hate, where the meek are raised up. Let us bring that hope with us when we leave tonight and take the light of our love and our hope with us into the world. May it be so, and amen.